It is already week number two. We have two undefeated teams, two teams that are 1-0 in the NFC South. It is a rivalry, even though Tristan Wirfs tells all of us media geeks that, you know what he told the team? It ain't a rivalry. There's got to be a give and take, and it's been all give. We've given them. We can't beat them in the regular season. Let me tell you, I was in that locker room. Every single player on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster that had a media person come up to them and ask them, the same question. How come you guys can't beat the Saints? So it's been in their ear. They know it. They've seen the film. It's in New Orleans. It's Jameis Winston. He thinks he's got something to prove. The Buccaneers let him go. He knows he's going up against the GOAT. There's a lot of rumors swirling around the GOAT's private life, but it all comes down to here in New Orleans. Kickoff at 1 o'clock. Let's go! This is Bucks Kickoff Podcast, only on Joe Bucks Fan. Thank you so much for joining. I'm here every single Buccaneer game, all season long, 17 regular season games, and then we get into the playoffs. But it's week number two. Let me give you the matchups. Let me tell you about Burger Monger, where I love to eat and drink their shakes. Let me get you my under the rock, what I have seen at One Buck, watching practice inside, outside, being in the locker room and being there for a big chunk of those interviews. All right, are you ready? Are you ready? It's week number two. I love it. It is a rivalry. It is. The Bucs need this one bad, though. I will tell you that. And again, we know all about the numbers. All right, when you want to talk about numbers, this game, I think they've got it right around about Buccaneers favored by 2.5. The over-under is at 44. What did the Bucs do last week? It was a 19-3 win. Nobody cares, as weeks go, how you got it done. It's getting that W. Now, the Saints, oh my God, come from behind. The choke job again with the Atlanta Falcons, but the Saints in the fourth quarter, 16 points. They were down. They win it in just over the Falcons, barely. They were down by 16. Jameis throws for 212 yards in that fourth quarter, and they get it done. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Dallas Cowboys, it really wasn't a passing win. The defense was the key, totally shutting down the Dallas Cowboys, even before the Dak Prescott injury. Leonard Fournette and that offensive line did one hell of a job. Playoff Lenny rushed for 127 yards. So here we go now, all right? Here we go. Let me tell you who's in and who's out. Chris Godwin is definitely out. He's got the hamstring. He looked really good in that first play, didn't he? Oh, my God. I was like, whoa. He had a little bit of a limp at the beginning of training camp, and he had the brace on. I didn't think he went that far. But anyway, he's got the hamstring. He is out. And big left tackle Donovan Smith with the elbow. He is doubtful. All right? So it's going to be Josh Wells at that left tackle. You got young Gedecky. He did a pretty damn decent job at left guard in his first ever NFL start. And at guard, Hainsey at center was decent. And it was his first NFL start. And then Shaq Mason, who did not grade out good. If you go by PFF, I know one of the Joes does not like it. And then Tristan Wirfs. But anyway, Donovan Smith, with the elbow, is doubtful. Godwin is out. And then here are your questionables. Mike Evans with the calf. Julio Jones, he's got the bad knee. Russell Gage, wide receiver with the hamstring. Breshad Perriman. Lenny is doubtful. A hammy. And Tristan Wirfs, it's a stomach muscle thing. He was dealing with that in the game before that. So the only one that's definitely out is Godwin, and Donovan Smith is doubtful. On the Saints side, Paulson, Adebo, their cornerback, he wasn't practicing at all. He's definitely out. And then questionable is Jameis Winston with a back injury, Ingram with an ankle, the running back, Alvin Kamara, bad ribs, Tre'Quan Smith, the wide receiver, with a shoulder, and then Alante Taylor, their cornerback, with a hip. So Adebo is the only one that is out for the Saints. And then Jameis is questionable with the back. Now, you know, I don't want to go too deep into the history. All I really just care about is this game. But this is Bucks Kickoff Podcast, and I want to be as well-versed and knowledgeable and giving you as much as I can. Do you know, this blew me away when I looked this up, all right? Since both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints joined the NFC South, do you know what year it was that the Saints and the Buccaneers joined the NFC South? I still remember those battles with the Minnesota Vikings. I'm thinking of Randy Moss and Brad Johnson. The battles with Brett Favre, Warren Sapp, and Brett Favre with the Packers. I remember being in the locker room, and I went over to the Packers locker room, and here comes Holmgren and Brett Favre walk right by me, and he was going to do his press conference, and I was like, all right, doesn't seem like it was that long ago. What year you think the Saints and the Buccaneers joined the NFC South? 2002. 20 years ago. 20 years ago. But since both have joined the NFC South, the Saints have swept regular season series 8 times, including 2019 and 2021. And the last time that these two teams played, last December, Saints beat the Buccaneers 9-0. And if you remember going in, Brady and the Buccaneers were the NFL's leading scoring offense in all the NFL. Brady turned it over 2 times, 1 pick, and 1 lost fumble. And the Bucs were very, very bad on third down. All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers under Brady, since Brady has become a pewter with that pewter jersey, number 12, he's 0-4. Against the Saints in the regular season. The Buccaneers haven't won a regular season game against the Saints series since 2018. Bucks have lost 7 in a row to the Saints in the regular season. And as I mentioned real quickly when I started there, Tristan Wirfs said that Coach Todd Bowles told the team it's not a rivalry unless there's some give and take. And there hasn't been a give and take back and forth. It's been all Saints. The Saints last made the playoffs in 2020, and that was when they were beaten by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, of course, the Saints did not make it last year at all. All right, I'm going to get to some matchups. I have this segment that I'm going to call Under the Rock. What I kind of seen and heard, you know, being over there at One Buck gets you a little behind the scenes. And a couple of fun facts for this one. Like, playoff Lenny, he went to LSU. He played his high school football at St. Augustine Prep, so he's going back home. Linebacker Devin White played his high school football North Webster in New Orleans, and he played at LSU. Cam Brate of the Buccaneers, their tight end. Did you know he was on the Saints practice squad in 2015? Ryan Griffin, of course, who's going to have a paycheck for probably till like, what, 2025, I would assume, as like the number 4 quarterback. He, of course, played at Tulane. And one note that I found interesting, Saints offensive assistant, DJ Williams. Who is DJ Williams? Doug Williams' son. I love Doug Williams. When he was here, when he was in the front office, and he had his son that was around all the time. DJ, how you doing, DJ? Well, his son is now an assistant coach, offensive assistant. And he played at Tampa Catholic. And, of course, Doug Williams in the Ring of Honor. So, I know you want to get to the matchups. We want to get to the nitty-gritty. This is Joe Bucks fan, baby. I got you. So, let me get into some of these matchups on what I can throw out at you, what I think may be the keys in this bad boy game. But before I go any further, I don't know about you, but I'm getting hungry at this time and thirsty. It would be a good time right now for a delicious Chop House burger and bar stool shakes. I'm talking about Burger Monger. Burger Monger has 4 spots in the Tampa Bay area, in Carrollwood, in St. Pete, in Safety Harbor, Wesley Chapel. They're hand-pressed patties, over a third of a pound, baby. A blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef burgers. They are hand-pressed on the grill to a perfect char for maximum flavor. Mm. And you got a whole bunch of cheeses that you can pop on that burger. Fresh toppings and sauces. Or, you know what? I've tried it. One of the Burger Monger's delicious house-crafted recipe burgers. They work in the lab to give just the right flavor. Go for one of their crafted recipe burgers that they have. Now, if you're going to Burger Monger, you got to get the Burger Monger shakes. All natural, hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun, thick and creamy, and to top it off, whipped cream on top and a bunch of toppings. What are the flavors of the Burger Monger shakes? Very vanilla, simply strawberry, chocolate fudge, cookies and cream, caramel craves, and Snickers Supreme. Now, my wife was like, do they have chicken sandwiches? Do they? You want to mix it up? All right. The best kept secret is Burger Monger's amazing chicken sandwiches, larger marinated chicken breast. It's grilled, or you can get it fresh breaded, or you can get it deep fried to order. And then their craveable sides, natural cut fries, love them. Sweet potato waffle fries, delish. And house made, hand battered onion rings. You can't beat it. And for a limited time only, for this Bucks winning season, right now, go into Burger Monger. They are offering the LFG Burger. Let's freaking go. It's a burger stack with two patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce, provolone cheese, applewood smoked bacon, and fresh avocado slices. And it's finished off with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. Definitely a winner, and it's only $12. Burger Monger. If you haven't checked it out, just do it. You'll be glad you did. And enjoy this Buccaneers Saints game. Chopping down. All right, let's get you to the matchups. Are you ready? The big one to me, again, is going to be the offensive line, and it's going to be Brady. Because when Brady came into that press conference on Thursday, again, I'm seeing him all last season, all training camp, and now. He definitely is skinnier, man. He definitely is. I asked him because on his podcast on Monday, and one of the Joes wrote it up in Joe Bucks Fan. It must have been Lee because Lee was there and Sage was also there. But I said, Tom, on your podcast, you said you were sore. I'm fine. I feel great. I'm fine. I feel great. He cut me off like immediately and boom. So he's not sore because there was a lot made of that. On his podcast, he's like, boy, that took some hits. I was sore waking up on Monday. So that was, that was fuel for fire for talk show hosts on ESPN. I saw their segment where they, oh my God, it's only the first week and it's a Monday. He's 45 years old. He's sore now. How's he going to make it through the week? He cut me down. The GOAT said right away, I feel great. I feel great. No problem at all. But Brady is 0-4 against the Saints, regular season. He's been sacked 13 times, 8 picks, 2 pick sixes, only 6 touchdowns. He's fumbled 2 times. Now, when the Buccaneers did beat the Saints, let's not forget that, the divisional playoff game, Brady threw for 199 and 2 touchdowns. They were able to run the ball effectively. Again, it wasn't any kind of a shootout. And Brady flat out said, It's turnovers. It's turnovers. It's mistakes. You just got to play a good football game. They got to stop beating themselves, man. They're making mistakes against the Saints. Now, for the Saints defense going up against Brady and company, last week versus the Falcons, the Saints defense gave up over 200 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Now, the Saints defense, all we got to go on is last week, right? And then also in 2021. The Saints defense allowed the fourth fewest points in all the NFL. The Saints D last week, they did not have any sacks against the Falcons. Now, granted, Mariota can scramble and he can get out of the pocket, but they didn't have any Saints. You've got Cam Jordan. Onyemata David in that middle of the defensive front. Linebacker Demario David is good. And Marshawn Lattimore is Marshawn Lattimore. You know, I don't know if you caught it, but Sean Payton was on with Colin Cowherd on Fox. And he was saying that they really wanted, what's his name for the Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes, at that draft at that time. They worked him out. They came away blown away about his knowledge. Like, they gave him all this stuff and put it up on a board and throwing defenses at him. And he was like, they blew him away. And he said, let's get on the plane right now. This is Sean Payton with his guys. Let's not tell. I don't want anybody to know we were here. Anything under the radar. Don't mention Patrick Mahomes. I want Patrick Mahomes. He had Breeze, but he's looking for the future. And he said, boom, right before they were to pick, boom, the Chiefs went and got Mahomes. And then they went with Marshawn Lattimore. And as he said, it's a win-win. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore is freaking so dang good. But Mahomes can turn around a franchise. But anyway, I digress. All right, so anyway, that's the deal with Brady. We all know the deal. We see the numbers. Is it his kryptonite? It has been in the regular season. And this really, in watching Brady and his mannerisms and all the stuff that's swirling around, I think this is it. I really do think this is it. So he's not going to want to leave this league knowing that the Saints are kicking his ass. Now, Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore. When you look at this matchup, basically, there was one catch for 40 yards that Evans had, and pretty much after that, Lattimore has had his number. And on top of that, Mike Evans has not been practicing this week because he's got a calf injury. All right? Another matchup that I really, really like and I'm going to watch and going to enjoy is Carlton Davis. Carlton Davis from the Buccaneers going up against wide receiver Michael Thomas. Now, Michael Thomas came through for Jameis and the Saints in that fourth quarter last week. Nobody knew. He was out so long. He was out all last year with that ankle injury. And then if you go back, Carlton Davis, every time I've talked to him, he's like very quiet. He seems to be a little bit more talkative, confident now. When we go over, when that locker room opens on Wednesday, he's right over there with the DBs, and boom, everybody, you know, goes over to him, and the camera, the lights are on, and he's talking. And it's not like he's a fast talker or bragger, but you can just see that he really has come into his own with confidence. And he was on Twitter, and he was ended up bragging. He said he shut him down in the, I shut you down in that divisional playoff win. Oh, I bodied you. Here it is. I wrote it down. I bodied you. And how many games in a row now? He called him Slant Boy, Michael Thomas. So I like it. I like it. But he better be able to back it up against Michael Thomas. I'll have more on the Saints, the whole game plan, and going back in a little bit. I'm just going over some of these matchups. Here's another one that I'm really looking forward to. The Buccaneers defensive line, the Buccaneers defensive front against the Saints offensive line. Now, let's go back to last week. This is all we got, right? We got to go back to game one. The Saints offensive line gave up 4 sacks against the Atlanta Falcons. I think this Buccaneer front is better than the Atlanta Falcons. The Bucs front is better. Vita Vea, Akeem Hicks wasn't a world beater. As I looked over that game, studied it a little bit closer, he's going to be good. And then, of course, like I say, you got your Golston. And on the edge, oh my God, with Tryon Shoyanka and Shaq Barrett, and then Devin White and Levante David both had very, very, very good games. The Buccaneers defense against Jameis. I mean, the Saints have new receivers, and Jameis is exactly what Jameis is. He is inconsistent. He is hot and cold. We've all seen him in games dating back to his days at FSU when he was with the Buccaneers. He can throw a pick in a horrible situation, a bad decision. And then the next series, he can come out. He forgets about it, and he'll throw a slant. He'll throw it out. He'll march it down. I've seen him in camp, in training camp with the Bucs, with pads on, 11-on-11. He'll throw a pick. The defense is all charged up, and he forgets about it, and he comes right back. That's Jameis, and that's what Jameis was last week. The Saints had minus 2 yards net passing in the first half. How about that? But Jameis was on fire, and he looked great in that fourth quarter. And then he did his goofy, doofy interviews, and there was pain. Yeah, there was pain. He actually cracks me up, but it's going to – I'm really looking forward to just seeing this. Is it going to be a chess match? I wouldn't call it a chess match with Jameis. More of a gunslinger mentality. But overall, in this game, when you break it down, the Buccaneers – I believe that they're more talented, especially when the GOAT is playing. They've got to play smart. They have lost against the Saints. It's come down to turnovers and sacks and penalties. And the other key for me in this bad boy is, Buccaneers, you got to finish, man, when you get in the red zone so many times. Joe Bucs fan, during the Ira podcast, it was Lee, one of the Joes, he was in Dallas. He was in the press box for that game. And I was listening to the Ira Kaufman podcast, and I agree with you, Lee. He said, just sitting there watching that game in Jerry's world, he kept thinking, you're giving them too many chances. You're only coming away with field goals. You got to start scoring some touchdowns. But again, Dallas just sucked. They sucked offensively, defensively. They were horrible. And so it didn't come back to bite the Buccaneers in the ass. I mean, the Bucs had field goal tries in all five first half drives. So you can't do that again, because that's going to come back and that will bite you in the ass. Oh, and real quickly, it's a Fox game. You know, if you don't have a place to go, you got time. Hit Big Storm Brewing Company, Big Storm Brewing on 49th Street North in Clearwater. It's 49th Street North, Clearwater, and Sage is going to be there. I don't want to totally commit because it depends on my family situation, but I kind of told Sage, my goal is to at least be there for one half and see Sage and meet you guys and have a, you know, call one or two and let's have a good time. But Sage will be there and it should be great. But the game is on Fox. Burkhart, your play-by-play. Greg Olson is your color guy. Very good. Aaron Andrews and Rinaldi are going to be down on the sidelines. All right, let's delve a little bit into the Saints. I'll get to my under the rock here in a little bit, what I have seen. This is my deep dive into the Saints, all right? Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is very, very interesting. He's a stud. He was out 20 months, damn 4 months shy of 2 years with an ankle injury. He missed all of last year. And he didn't really play in the preseason at all, so nobody knew what to expect. But new head coach Dennis Allen, who had been the defensive coordinator, do you know what he did? This is very smart. When he got the gig, when Sean Payton said he was stepping away, he was going to take a little breather, they promoted from within, and he looked down, he's figuring a roster. He's like, all right, I know my defensive guys. I got to start to get to know the offensive guys more. And he flew to Los Angeles, and he had a long dinner with Michael Thomas and Michael Thomas's wife. And he wanted to find out what makes him tick and get a bonding experience. And Thomas thought it was great. Sometimes it's little things like that. There are things that happen behind the scenes with Todd Bowles. There are things that happen with Bruce Arians behind the scenes, even going back to the Dirt Cutter. Listen, I'm not going to go back to the bad days, okay? I'm in the now right now with the GOAT and this team. Super Bowl and then losing to the Rams here and loaded for bear. Let's just stay right now. But there are things that happen behind the scenes that are important that don't make it to the stat sheet. So Michael Thomas was like, I love this organization. I love my teammates. I love my team. He had 2 second-half touchdowns. Look out for him. And Drew Brees, I think it was this week, I don't know who he was doing the interview with, but he was like, what he noticed with Michael Thomas is, he said, he's like a Darren Sproles. He treats every practice rep like the Super Bowl. And I mean, Michael Thomas is, oh, he's confident, all right. Do you remember when he was at Ohio State and what he made his Twitter handle? Can't guard Mike. But you know what? You got to have that confidence being at this level. So that gave him the confidence with the 2 touchdowns in that fourth quarter against the Falcons. Now, for the first three quarters, the Saints, the offensive line, they blew assignments. Jameis, in my estimation, was holding on to the ball too long. That's been the biggest difference watching, of course, one of the greatest of all time. So it's hard to compare, but that's what we're comparing against. It's Brady's, like, being able to see when he comes up to the line of scrimmage. It's almost like one of these great, great, great pool players, billiards players. The Color of Money, there was a, this is, I'm going way back, God, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. I was at a TV station in New Jersey, and there was this movie, I think it was called The Color of Money. I think Tom Cruise is in it. But the pool player that was in this, we did a long feature. I went to his house, went to the pool play. When you're at that level, like a billiards player, a pool player, the professionals, they are looking at 3-4 shots ahead. You know, I'm just trying to, like, okay, I call the six in the corner, the side pocket. Maybe I'll hit it high and maybe let it run, maybe to try to get it over here for the next shot. But the ones that are so, so good, they're like 3-4 shots ahead. Well, that's how Brady is when he gets to the line of scrimmage. He looks, he assesses, he knows, you see him point, boom, no, call somebody over, boom. He's already going in his head. Where, it, you know, Jameis isn't able to process. He hasn't been playing that long as the GOAT. And there's never like, the GOAT is, he's human. There's times where he overthrows. He misses a throw. Not often, but he does. He's human. He's not a robot. But it's rare that Brady makes the wrong decision. It's rare if you check out the old 22 where you see a guy that's wide open and Brady did not hit him. That's the biggest difference. And like in the first three quarters of this game, the Saints and the Falcons, Jameis was holding on to the ball too long. But again, he certainly came back, man. Taysom Hill did have some long runs, though. And that's another guy that nobody has brought up at all this week. And Taysom Hill has chewed up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, the Saints defense, this highly touted Saints defense, no sacks of Mariota. And the Falcons were able to run on the Saints over 200 yards rushing. Cordarrelle Patterson. Is Cordarrelle Patterson that good? The Saints offensive line in the first three quarters did not protect Jameis's blind side. They were coming from his blind side. The Saints allowed 5 sacks. They allowed 17 pressures. Okay? And on the flip side, for the Buccaneers defense, they were really, really good. They held the Cowboys to 3 points. C.D. Lamb, all I kept hearing about all training camp and going into this one is C.D. Lamb, C.D. Lamb. C.D. Lamb against the Buccaneers in Jerry's World had 2 catches for 29 yards. Give credit to Winfield, Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, all with exceptional coverage. So those are just some of the matchups that I'm looking forward to in this game, and I just cannot wait. All right, under the rock, there's not too much new behind the scenes that I noticed at One Buck this week. And you know what? That's actually a good thing. Because what I did notice is when I'm there for the availability that we are allowed to watch practice. See, let me tell you, when you're at training camp, just like you, the fan, if you are lucky enough to either be a season pass member or if it's not that, you got to have a hookup somehow. But you're allowed to watch all of the practice. Same thing with media. But now we're in regular season mode, we can only watch about 20 minutes. And it's usually stretching. They blow the whistle. You get about, 17, 18 minutes. They'll do special teams work, especially if it's indoors, this and that. But it's all the same. Like, it's pretty much the same as last year. And that's actually a good thing. They're not having to learn anything new. Same offensive system with a few tweaks. And I'm going to get to that. And the defense, so this way they're able to think everything is familiar with them. And so they went inside on Wednesday. Tuesday is the off day. They don't do much on Monday. It's to get the lactic acid out and, you know, stretch and do what they got to do with the training staff. They watch film. They go over all that. Tuesday's the off day. And then they come back in on Wednesday. Now, the coaches don't have an off day. They put together the game plan. Then they get there Wednesday morning. Boy, I was looking on the board that they have in the locker room. I was just glancing up. Do you know what time it starts for lifting? 4 a.m. Now, that's the lower end, guys. You know, the stars aren't coming in at 4. They're not in that group. But 4 a.m. Some roll in 5, 5:30, 6 at the latest. They're there till 6, 7 at night. I mean, it's longer. I know. You don't want to hear them bitching and moaning. They're making millions of dollars playing a kid's game, all that. But the days are a lot longer, man. They put in quite a bit of time. But anyway, Wednesday they went indoors. And very low-key practice where, you know, special teams. Again, it's the same as last year. The quarterbacks, they're the only group that starts outside when the team practices in the Advent Health Training Center. So I always get on the bleachers. I'm trying to notice every position group, the cornerbacks, the linebackers, the DBs. They're usually on the sideline near the window, and a lot of them play catch. They warm up just like playing catch with one another. The defensive line with Coach Locust and the D-line coach, they have dummies, blocking dummies. Sometimes they start, sometimes they're not. They're just kind of hanging. Offensive line is far away down in the right corner. And then they're working usually on the punt coverage, punt team. Sometimes the punters punt. Sometimes then they'll bring out the jugs machine, so they mimic punting, and we watch that. But I get up and I look at the quarterbacks, and I'm like, this is exactly the same as last year. Exact. Same routine. Here comes Arians on his golf cart. He's down in the far end. He's talking with Jason Light for a while. You know, I looked out. Oh, the GOAT was given off on Wednesday. A veteran day. They're just resting him. They do so much with nutrition, with all these studies. That's why I don't understand why they have so many hamstring injuries, because they have such a staff that studies all this stuff. But anyway, it was very low-key. Thursday, they go back outside. Same thing that we've seen all last season, same type of practice. But what I did notice is once we had to leave, and then we go back in the media room, and we're just kind of hanging in there, and I had forgotten, I think, one of my microphones, because I was going to do an interview. And I went to my car and I was like, oh, I heard the crowd noise again. Oh, I had forgotten about that. All right, that makes sense. Because last year they were playing crowd noise on the Thursday and Friday practices, even when they would be playing at Raymond James Stadium, a home game. It used to be in the old days you only played crowd noise when they were playing away, but they're going to play in the dome. It's going to be loud. And I don't know how much it really fact it does. It's beneficial because it's not that loud. And again, I'm on the other side of the wrought iron gate, so I'm not supposed to look. So I'm abiding by the rules. The last thing I need is to have my credential taken away. But I'm going to my car, and it's not that loud. And it goes like this. When the offense comes up to the line of scrimmage, and plays are short, it's like this. It's like, bum. And it stops. And then it's silent. Then you wait a little bit, you hear, and it stops. That's it. That's how they mimic the crowd noise. But anyway, and then I went in to the media room, and there you go. Every single player that was interviewed this week in the locker room, and I'm talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was asked, how come you can't beat the Saints? Why do the Saints have your number? Is it because they're more physical? Why is it? So these guys, what I am hoping is they are so tired of hearing this, then the only way that you can shut us up of asking that question is to win, get the dub, and put this nonsense to stop. But I'm telling you, and I'm sure the coaches, and when they watch the film, they're seeing it. But it was like every player we went over to, that question came up. Okay, I got to get to this, all right? Everybody that I have talked to and asked me about the Bucks or brings up the Bucks or any of these shows on ESPN, on Fox, podcasts, everybody's like, this is the new identity of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, it's no more Arians, no risk it, no biscuit. You see, they run the ball. It's totally different. It's totally different. And I, before I went to one Buck this week, I was like, hold on. It's just the one game. And it depends on matchups. How do you match up? It really, are the Bucs going to be a majority running team now? Because Leonard Fournette ran for 127 yards. But everybody was bringing this up. Even former players and on these shows that have some credibility. Everybody was this. It's a new offense, new offense, new offense. So I'm like... So Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, is doing, he comes in to greet us. He talks on Thursday, I believe, or was it Wednesday? I mean, it's all mixing in. And it's funny because when Brady talked, he said, you got to have balance. We want balance for this game and all season through. And Leftwich is like, I don't like that word balance. I don't look at it like that. And he always is bringing up like the media. You guys don't understand. He's like, you guys see the game on TV and the fans, and you guys don't understand how tough this game really is on players. Well, he brings up a good point there. And he's like, you guys are bringing up like balance. We got to balance. I don't look at it like that. I look at it having more multiple weapons in our arsenal, in our game plan for each game. And then we see how the game is going, and we're trying to win the game, so we're going to use what's working. You know what? That's fair. That's fair. But that's kind of my point. Like, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Now, I wrote it down, but Brady, I had to find it, but Brady did say you don't want to get into a shootout for this game. That's not Brady's thing. He's not trying to... You know, he's not trying to just put up all the numbers that he can. Like, it's about the W's. It's about the dubs. And as I mentioned on last week's podcast, any new player that comes in, that's the number one thing that they see in the locker room. Unselfish. There is no DeSean Jackson. There is no Antonio Brown. There's no Keyshawn and give me the damn ball. You know, it's me. They don't have that. They don't have that. And it helps when you got the GOAT. And it helps when you've been successful in this era. So, but that's what I wanted to see, you know, what Bowles had to say. They want to, you know, have more in their weapons and this and that. Brady had said that we take what the defense is giving us. And, what Brady also said on that podcast, too. This was on the hype video. Remember he said the arm is a shame to waste. So his arm, despite what's going on, he looks like he's beaten down when he I'm telling you, when you see him at the facility, but not when he's on the field. The arm looks good. Still looks good. Still looks sharp. And I was the one that asked him, are you sore? He said, no, I feel great. So I'm just going to go on that. All right. Let's real quickly, let's go to what happened in last week's game for the Saints, and let's see what happened with the Bucs game. Now, it's funny. Last Sunday, how'd you feel? I felt so good. I felt so good last Saturday with the opening of college football that normally I got a honey-do list and I got to take care of beeswax. And I was watching when my wife went out with my daughter. I was watching more football than I normally do on a Saturday. I was just loving it. And then, of course, Sunday. Now, I got invited. The Bucs didn't play until nighttime, the Sunday night game. So I got invited to a birthday party of my buddy. He is a bartender / tap room manager at a brewery in Safety Harbor, Florida. and it was from 3 to 5. And it was one of those things where you go on Facebook, you either put interested or going interested. And I put interested and I knew I had to go. He's a good dude. And I'm like, all right, but I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to try to drink just 2 beers. That's it. I got to be sharp for this night game. You know, I got to be, man. It's what I, you know. So I go there and it was awesome. He was there, his family, his father, blah, 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 good people. And then the bartender, he's one of my friends. He's a good dude. He's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He's going to do some work on the side for PFF. And he's a Steelers fan. So the Steelers-Cincinnati game, remember that crazy game? That was on one of the screens. Then they had the Red Zone on another one. They had the Falcons and the Saints game. And so I got there after 3, and I'm like, oh, my God, the Saints are getting their asses kicked. And it was the same thing for quite a few of those games. How about those comebacks, right? And then I found myself, I was in conversation, and it's good, and I'm glancing up at the Red Zone, and then I'm looking at the game, and I am watching that Pittsburgh Steelers-Cincinnati game because that was something else. And then I was like, because I know on the Ira Kaufman podcast, Lee was busting on Steve so bad because he was watching the Falcons game. Well, why not? It's in the NFC South. He's doing his homework, Lee. Lee thought that was so funny. But anyway, I found myself, you know what? I'm pulling away from the group. I'm sitting at the bar. I'm locked into this Saints game. And they didn't have the sound up. They had music. You know, there's so much going on. It's a party. But I was like, look at this comeback. Look at this comeback. So just to go in a little bit deeper in that, you know, if you didn't see it, they were down 16 points in the fourth quarter, and it was in Atlanta. And Jameis leads them to 2 touchdown drives, 2 touchdown passes, 3 and 9 yards to Michael Thomas. He had 5 catches, 457. The big thing, like I said, with Michael Thomas now he's got that confidence. When you've been out that long, 20 months, and you're coming off that injury, you're a human being. You're like, oh, is it going to go? Am I going to be able to go full go? Am I going to be a little bit limited? Am I going to be rusty? So now he's feeling pretty good, okay? The first half, though, the Saints, they could not stop the run other than Taysom Hill. They could not run it. In the second half, it was Jameis with chunk plays to Johnson and to Alvin Kamara. And you could see it. Like, Jameis was starting. He was just getting in that rhythm. After that, Winston, he had a 40-yard pass to Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry, 7 catches, 114 yards. 17 to Juwan Johnson. And then, of course, that game-winning field goal. Dennis Allen, after the game, said, he knows that, like, Jameis had been out. Jameis is coming off that injury and the surgery. So he had been out. That's what he's thinking. That's why Jameis wasn't in a rhythm and wasn't able to get it going until the third quarter. Michael Thomas had missed a lot of time. That's what he's saying. That's what he's thinking. Winston was sacked 4 times. But Dennis Allen said after the game on Jameis, he never flinched. When he wasn't playing good, he kept on going. He kept believing. I will say that. Jameis is like that. So in this game, if Jameis throws a pick six or throws an interception in the first quarter, and you're a Bucs fan, don't be getting all crazy. Because I've seen him. I've seen him in college. I was in the Rose Bowl on the field for that game against Alabama. Holy crap, and the comeback that he had as a 19-year-old. So, you know, that's Jameis. Saints rookie wide receiver Drake London, 5 catches, 74 yards. Chris Olave, he's pretty darn good. He also caught that 2-point conversion. I think he's going to be a pretty damn good one. But, you know, bottom line is they did get it done, okay? And they're feeling pretty good. And they're at home. And it's going to be a crazy environment. Now, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Dallas Cowboys. Brady, on his podcast, said that with all that's going on, and listen, I'm not TMZ, I'm not CNN. Yeah, I've been following it, and I'm seeing how Brady looks, his body language, but not on the field. And that's all I'm caring about for this game. Brady did say football is keeping him grounded. Going in that Buccaneers locker room, being around his teammates, getting on the plane, traveling with the team, despite what's going on. I don't know about you. If you've ever been through, you know, I've been through a divorce with a child, with my son. Well, he was, I got her pregnant. There's no need to get into details and then the years and trying to raise. It can wear on you, man. And sometimes when you get, especially if you have a job where you like Brady, you get there, that's your oasis. Once he gets there, gets around his teammates, you know, suits up. He said, it's very humbling. I feel like I'm one of the guys, and there's not many places I can go where I just feel like one of the guys. But the locker room is definitely one of those places. Also, shout out to Ira Kaufman, the sage from Joe Bucks fan. He told me before the press conference, he was sitting right across from me, I got one for Tom. I'm probably going to get a stock answer, but I will see. I said, I gave him the fist bump. I said, you do it, Ira. And he asked him, he's like, Tom, the scrutiny of your personal life. I mean, I know you've been dealing with this, but like, does it get old? Are you over it? You know, and that's, I know some of you that just want only X's and O's. This is part of life. This is what analytics will not show you. What is a guy going through? Is a guy got a family member? Is he got a kid that's sick? Is he going through a divorce, a marital problem? Like, that doesn't show up on analytics. But you know what? For some, it can affect your mind. It can affect you. And he blew off Sage just like, I've been in the public eye for a long time. We're all under cameras. There's cameras here. And then that was it. So that was his stock answer, but at least Ira asked him that. But Brady, again, when he's around his teammates and when he gets on that field and he runs down that sideline with Gabbert in the pregame and he does that fist pump and he screams it out, he's ready to go. You know, I don't care what's going on in his personal life. That's how he's always been. The first Cowboys possession, they drove 54 yards for the field goal. They did not score again. Four first half suck up field goals in five attempts. The Buccaneers didn't even punt in the first half. And again, credit that Buccaneer defense. CeeDee Lamb, two catches, 29 yards. And then Noah Brown, five catches, 68 yards. Dak Prescott, even before the injury that he caught, with Shaq Barrett on his hand, 14 for 29, 134, and one interception. It was Lenny. Lenny was just moving. Now, Lenny is not going to be running as fast and as hard because he is nursing a hammy. And I saw some burst in Lenny that I had not seen. 21 carries, 127 yards, a 6-yard average. Julio Jones, two for 17, 8.5 yards per carry. How about that? The little end around. I liked it. Receiving, as always, the GOAT is going to spread it around. Whoever's open is going to get it. Evans, five catches, 71 yards. Julio, three catches, 69 yards. That 48-yard catch, that was nice. Godwin, he's not playing in this game. Gage only two for 13. He's still nagging. Got a nagging hammy. And Cambray, one catch and 7 yards. Gage did say, I think, see, before Gage got hurt, what I noticed during training camp, real good. Real good. Getting open. In his prime. You know, Julio talked about that because he knew him. He was like, when I was in Atlanta, I was the guy. But Gage has now come into his own. But he's been this hamstring. But he did say after the game, this was the first time, because I had been going 0-for-1 for me. Going 1-0 for me, it's awesome. The 4 years with the Falcons for Russell Gage, their starts 1-4, 1-7, 0-5, and 1-3. So he's feeling good because he is on a winning team and with Brady at quarterback. All right, what I'm going to do is I got a couple of quotes here from the other side I'd like to give you. Before I do that, though, and then we'll close this up strong here. Let me tell you about Burger Monger with their Chop House delicious burgers and their so yummy bar stool shakes. All over Tampa Bay. And even if you're not from Tampa Bay and you're going to catch a Buccaneer game, you're coming down here during the winter, or even if you're a snowbird or you got the vacation coming, they are located, I'm talking about Burger Monger, in Carrollwood, in St. Pete, Safety Harbor, and Wesley Chapel. They're hand-pressed patties. It's a blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef, hand-pressed on the grill. Maximum flavor. It's a perfect char. And then you got to go with the cheeses. What cheese do you choose? Fresh toppings and sauces. You know what I tried? I said, do it for me. They've got Burger Monger's delicious house-crafted recipe burgers that they have worked on for ultimate taste. And then you got to do the shake. All natural hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun, thick and creamy, and to top it off with whipped cream and a bunch of toppings. Now, 6 classic shake flavors. You ready? Snickers Supreme, Chocolate Fudge, Caramel Crave, Cookies and Cream, Simply Strawberry, and Very Vanilla. And one of the best kept secrets, Burger Monger has amazing chicken sandwiches. Larger marinated chicken breasts. You can get it grilled, you can get it fresh breaded, or you can get it deep fried to order. And I love their sides. I love the natural cut fries. Maybe you want to go with the sweet potato waffle fries. Or their handmade, hand battered onion rings. And for a limited time only, right now, in either their Carrollwood, their St. Pete, their Safety Harbor, their Wesley Chapel Burger Monger, you can get the LFG Burger. Let's go. It's a burger stack with 2 patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce, provolone, applewood smoked bacon, and fresh avocado slices. And to top it off on top, a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It is a winner, and it's only $12 at Burger Monger. All right, so Cam Jordan, he's a very good talker, but you know what? He took the high road this week when he was at his locker. He said that Tom Brady speeds it up. Oh, they've got young guys on the line. Oh, they got a left tackle that's injured. He said, they'll figure it out. They're very, very smart. Whatever that they had problems with in week 1, they will have fixed it and figured it out. And when you got Tom Brady as quarterback, believe me, they won't be the same as they were in week 1. Now, that's from Cam Jordan, okay? How about Jameis? First time. This will be the first time for Jameis since he has played back in the Superdome since that injury. And it occurred against the Bucs. There's so many storylines here. Now, Jameis cracks me up because he was asked about the Bucs. Do you have a little extra motivation, Jameis? Come on, man. This is the Bucs. And Jameis said, that's just another team. Just another team. I got a lot of respect to those former teammates. And then in the same sentence, same paragraph, same soundbite where we said, it's just another team. Got a lot of respect for my former teammates. He says, well, it is a division game. It is different. We're going against the best in Tom Brady. But then he goes, but I don't go against him. I'm going against Devin White, Levante David, Antoine Winfield, Shaq, and Vita. So he's saying it's not a big game, but it is a big game. He's going up against Tom Brady, but he's not going up against Tom Brady. He's going up against these guys he knew. In the fourth quarter, though, Jameis was money. He was 13-16. He was over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, like I said. Don't get too hyped if he throws an early interception because he can compartmentalize. I don't know how he does it. I'm looking for win number two for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Brady and the Buccaneers are sick of hearing and watching film of why they can't beat the Saints in the regular season. And I know that they've got a boatload of injuries, but this is the NFL, man. You shoot it up, you won't feel it during the game. You'll feel like hell after the game on that short flight back to Tampa. So let's enjoy this game. Check out the Sage at Big Storm in Clearwater. He's always a hoot and a funny guy to be around. He goes around table to table. And I will talk to you next week right here on the biggest, baddest, best Buccaneer website in the world at joebucksfan.com. We'll get ready for week number three of Bucks Kickoff Podcast. Enjoy the game, guys.